This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
I am Kate.
Kate.
Rachel.
How are you?
I am good. I've been reading a lot of self-help books and just learning a lot about myself and others. And so lately, I've just been in this contemplative mood where I just keep thinking about things. I'm listening to a book on tape right now called More Than Enough. It's by Elaine Welteroth.
Yes.
She was the first African-American editor of Teen Vogue when she was 29. So she is just so cool. She's so cool. And she's just telling her life story, and she just opened up my eyes to so much. And I feel like I just need to be an advocate for others, but I want to do it culturally and being culturally sensitive while doing that by allowing people to be their best selves and taking myself off of a pedestal that I didn't even put myself on. So looking at how, because of my skin color, my hair color, how I grew up, having parents that are married, having a stable, strong relationship with my husband, like all these different things put me in a place where society has said that I am better, and taking myself out of that kind of realm.
Like recognizing your privilege.
Yeah. And she doesn't, I mean, she never says like, we need to recognize privilege, but she just talks about her experience and how, and then also like how she came to kind of like a recognizing point of how she's, since she is mixed, she has a lighter skin tone, and how she, I mean, she just did a really powerful story about how she kind of, she really took on a lot of, took on the issue of the lighter the skin, the lighter the hair, the lighter the eyes, the more attractive the world has called that person. And so it just made me feel for people that maybe I have unintentionally or something has not treated in a proper way, or have said things or done things where it was unintentional, you know, to kind of perpetuate that standard. Sorry, this got real deep real fast. But such a good book. If you need a book, that one is fantastic.
One more time, the title?
More Than Enough by Elaine Welteroth.
Perfect.
She is so good.
All right.
So good. But yes, okay, enough about my deep contemplative thoughts. Tell me more about you. How are you, Rachel?
Oh, gosh. I'm still struggling through the same book I've been reading all summer, but that's okay. I'm going to get there. I did
binge watch all... Is it the Twin Peaks book?
Yeah, it is. I just, need to not read in bed. I need to sit down, in front of a crackling fire. I don't have a fireplace. I need to light something on fire, sit in front of it, and get into the mysteries of Twin Peaks. Yeah, a candle. That's good. I don't have time to read, but I have time to binge watch entire season one of True Detective since yesterday. And you know what? I didn't like it that much.
Oh.
I know. Edgy. I don't, you know what? I think I'm to the point where
crime shows don't bother you or excite you anymore?
No, I still love crime shows, but I just didn't like those guys. And I don't need to see everybody have sex. Sometimes I want to, but in this case, I was no, gross, Woody Harrelson, put it away.
That's, I've become a more selective with some of my TV show watching.
Yes, selective.
But then I can't really speak too much because I'm watching Hallmark movies.
Ooh, I saw Knives Out. That was really good.
Was it good?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought the accents were fun.
I really enjoyed how you went from Hallmark movies to Knives Out.
I don't know. That was just kind of a more upbeat murder.
Yeah. It looks good. My brother went and he was said it was super good, but I haven't.
Oh, good.
I haven't gone yet. Evan and I have a lot of movies to catch up on.
Yeah.
It was just, we lived apart for a year, so we missed a lot of movies.
I was thinking for my New Year's resolution, maybe I should watch the Best Picture winner from every Oscars, but then there's some that I just don't want to see. So maybe that's not a good resolution.
What was the one that was the water one?
No, I don't want to see that either. The Shape of Water.
Yes. That one looks so strange. I was sitting on a plane
and somebody next to me was watching it and some character broke off all of his fingers and I was like, no, never, will not watch this. Gross, 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 gross.
It just doesn't, I don't know. I can't, I know there's some like metaphorical things going on there, but I'm just not sure.
I don't know if I need that in my life right now.
Yeah. I went and saw the Mr. Rogers movie. Very sweet, very kind.
Oh, how was that?
It's, okay, so you have to realize that it is a Mr. Rogers episode for adults, and so it is very slow.
Okay.
Like Mr. Rogers. So if you go in understanding that, it's good. But if you go in and you're like, what the heck? This is super slow. And get really drunk like the gentleman that was in our movie did and get kicked out. No. It doesn't work too well.
Are they the, I like the movie theaters, like you can like lay down now and like have a full meal.
Ours we couldn't, but also my parents
bought the tickets, but there's just a drunk guy?
Yeah, because you can buy alcohol on the outside of the theater and then bring it in, like outside, like they have like a place where you can, like a bar within the theater.
Yeah. Okay. And then they expect you to sit upright through an entire movie?
That's crazy. I know. And then, but I think he was slightly intoxicated before, and it just was I felt bad. It was a bit of a mess. But.
Well, what is on the menu today?
What is on the menu? Okay.
You know, I have thoughts.
You have thoughts about what's on the menu?
Yeah. I thought because you're always making me lunch. Maybe I should make you lunch today. Unfortunately, oh my gosh. It is just a warm cup of soothing throat coat tea for our nice voices.
Can I tell you what I was going to pick?
What were you going to make?
Because I went in a completely opposite direction.
Okay.
Because I went to go see a high school production of Little Mermaid lately. And since we are talking about voices, in case you've missed some things, and we'll go more into that. But I was thinking we could have some sort of shrimp or like oysters or something, because
hell, let's just have a mermaid.
I'm not gonna eat a mermaid. And then
what if it was grilled?
I will be a mermaid but I will not eat a mermaid. I feel like that's kind of like cannibalism slightly, like I don't know, they've got human faces.
Oh, true.
And so I thought we could have one of those shells because she sings into a shell. The teens did a very good job with it. Very nice job.
Was it at Evans School?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was quite the production, and it was wonderful.
So we're talking about the policing of women's voices.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me that you were going to tell me something that you need to get my true reaction on. So I haven't been prepared. This is about to be my real reaction. Give it to me.
Okay, so I was discussing with our classmate, Shannon, who's thebomb.com. Shout out to Shan.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! She and I was over, so she lives in Kansas City. I was in Kansas City for Thanksgiving. We were hanging out and we were discussing how we lower our voices and rather than getting really loud for our patients that are hard of hearing. So Shannon and I shared this with each other about what our voices sounded like when we worked at the VA. Shannon is still at the KCVA, so she's a resident there. So she said that she does her like lower register voice. She's like, I do this for my like hearing aid patients. And she goes, hello, I'm Shannon. How are you doing? And I was like, yeah, I do. Hi, I'm Kate. How are you doing today? Like, rather than just projecting the voices, we lower our voices because it's better in their register.
Oh, well, that's pretty smart.
It's not policing women's voices, but I always...
But modulating your own voice just because you've been told that people hear better when your voice is lower. And I was listening to, or I wasn't listening to anything. I read an article today that was like women's voices have gotten lower over like the course of the century, which is kind of interesting. So what I'm specifically referring to when I say policing women's voices is like Valley Girl talk or upspeak or vocal fry or apologizing too much. These are considered things that are not okay, but things that women do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why isn't that okay? Or saying like too much even.
Oh, people are
like, I can't stand the sound of that person's voice. But it's like, why? Why don't you like how we sound? Do you just want us to shut up? Like, yeah. Like, I feel like society demands that we be uber feminine, and then we get in trouble for sounding feminine. And it's like, is there any way to talk? Is there any way to talk?
No.
Can I talk? Can I live?
Yeah, you can. You can live. You can talk. Okay, so Rachel is actually a professional voice actor. So we have to take all of this with a grain of salt. Just kidding. She's fantastic. I love to listen to your voice.
thank you.
But I do think that's something that I know when we started this podcast, that's something that we were concerned about is, will people say that they don't like the way we sound? And we made that kind of decision there consciously to say, well, if you don't like the way we sound, then you either need to get over it and listen to the message, or maybe this isn't the podcast for you and you should read some of our writings or do something differently if you want to get information from us. But this is who we are. We're not going to change who we are just because one person's uncomfortable. In my book, it was like, you can't shrink yourself because somebody, you know, like you need to take up space. You just can't shrink yourself because somebody wants you to fit into a box. So, I feel like that's a theme right now in a lot of women's and people's lives. So I was thinking about that, and some things like vocal fry, I struggle with because it is, can be damaging to your vocal cords. And I don't want to speak to women that this is typically, that's the way they speak. But if you do that to your voice and that's not your natural state, sometimes it can cause some damage there. So just be smart. Don't purposefully, consistently try to be something you aren't. You know?
Yeah, be authentic to yourself. But if your authentic voice has vocal fry, then fry away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I just don't want somebody to feel like they, you know, they need to. And I guess that's a point of this all, is like when you feel like you need to change things.
Yeah.
I talk fast. That is a natural part of who I am and a natural part of my personality. Constantly, I've had several gentlemen point out to me that if I slowed down, they would understand me better. And if I slowed down and did this or that, but my speaking pattern and the way I kind of work through the world is, that's very a part of who I am. And it's something that I've had to deal with. And especially in public speaking scenarios, I have become more aware of it, because if I'm presenting new information to somebody, I need them to understand what I'm saying. And if it's too quick and it doesn't soak in, then that's not a good point. But just because you have, you would like for me to speak slower because it just makes you feel more comfortable, doesn't mean that I should.
Yeah, like, why is every situation a situation that, like, this person has to control? Like, why can't they adapt for, like, once?
And I don't want to, I know people that are hard of hearing or have some issues, like, this is a tough subject because for them, they do need some of these things to help
them. Yeah, but you're already adapting for them.
Yeah. And like, I grew up in a deaf community, and so it was really helpful to enunciate a lot. And, you know, a lot of those different.
What?
Yeah. So I lived in, not in a full deaf community, but like the deaf school for the state of Kansas was in my hometown.
Oh, okay, cool.
So like in my school, we had deaf kids like as a part of our classrooms. So it was easier if they were going to read lips to enunciate more and do different things. But, you know, like they also have something that's worth accommodating for.
Yeah.
If you're a 40-year-old that is just asked me to slow down, I don't take pity on you.
Yeah. Do you remember that SNL sketch? It was called like The Well for Boys or Contemplative Boys or whatever. I think that was it. It was Emma Stone was the host, and it was just this well that sensitive boys could go and sit by and just like gaze into the well and make a wish and tell secrets. And then this like other boy came over and was like, I don't get it. And Emma Stone goes over and is like, because it's not for you, because everything else is for you. It's like, you know what? Your voice is your voice. Like, they don't get to tell you how to change it. Like, my voice is not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what I think about sometimes is like, sometimes I'll catch myself being like, wow, I can't stand the sound of that politician's voice. And I need to think like, do I ever say that about men? Mm-hmm. No. No. I can't think of a case. Okay.
Sometimes I do.
Actually, you know what? Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe. When he's on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I have a real problem with that.
I sometimes struggle with, there's like that yelling phenomenon that's on, that sometimes comes on TV where like reporters like yelling, remember like Bad Money or what, something like that. Yeah. And the guy just like yelled a lot. I struggled with it. but also mm-hmm. I knew that wasn't for me, you know? And I chose never to watch that show. I don't really participate mm-hmm. because I know that's not for me. And I can't look at that person and say, you need to stop yeah. doing that because it makes me feel uncomfortable. No, I just learned there's other ways that I will get my information about finances.
That guy wrote a book. You could read it if you wanted.
Yes, and it's probably not in all caps.
Probably not.
And if it is, that was a long shift. Like, he held that shift piece for a long time.
Yeah, he's probably got a really tired pinky. Or just,
he did caps lock.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, caps lock. Mm-hmm. I know. I didn't even think about that.
So where does this come from, do you think? Why are we so, like, into controlling the idea of what women sound like? Ooh, listen to that fry.
So good. I'm glad you got it in there.
Number one or number two? That wasn't very good.
It was decent. I wouldn't, you know, count yourself down on that one. I don't know where exactly it comes from, but I think as women, traditionally, we've been able to be placed in a box that makes other people feel comfortable. So we are the ones that get asked or told to fit into that box again. It's easier for them to say, I want you to fit here, rather than them than a person that feels like they're more powerful to say that I will adjust for you. Especially when we think about people that are in power, you know, like as we talk about with flexibility and all those different things, they get to make those more choices about how other people spend their time and how other people are perceived more than how people, rather than people saying no back to them.
So when I think about like female politicians, I think a lot of the time when people are saying, oh, she sounds so shrill, is like, I don't think this woman should tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But like, okay, you got to get over that. For me, what I hear the most is, you apologize too much.
Yes.
Like, why do I apologize so much? Because I feel like my entire existence is an imposition on those around me. And why
yes.
is that? I gotta blame society.
Yes. I've actually started to change my language on that one. I've rather done sorry language, but thank you language. So rather than saying, sorry, this is late, is thank you for your patience. I can't tell you how often I use that. Or, so with patience, when I'm running behind, rather than saying, so sorry, I'm running behind, I say, thank you so much for your patience. I was working with somebody else and I'm in my full attention's with you now. I didn't want it to be divided. Mm. And I've never once had somebody push back on that one.
I think they understand
that my sorry, that I'm apologetic, but I also want them to know that if they have an issue, I'm going to be sitting there and be willing to work with them on that.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to just be like, oh, yep, that's fine, whatever. You know, like, I'm willing to sit there and work with things on them. And so I've started using in emails and anything, thank you first language rather than sorry language.
Mm. You know what really bothers me is when I don't say sorry and someone acts like I did.
Yes! I just think the message of, like, fitting ourselves into a box that people have asked us to fit into, you know, that shrill or, you know, you sound so whiny.
Mm-hmm.
You sound so, or you sound upset. And
yeah.
Do you just, you know, and this sounds silly, but like, do you need a glass of water? You sound upset.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I can be upset and I can be passionate about something and I can have those emotions and I will, but sometimes they're saying those things of like, oh, you seem upset.
Yeah.
When I'm passionate about something or when I'm trying to fix a problem.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, duh, I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
And duh, I'm trying to make it better. Yeah. But just by you trying to shut me up by saying, oh, you seem upset.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just get you a glass of water. Like, no.
Yeah.
Let me be passionate.
Yeah.
Let my voice get higher. Let my voice get louder.
Yeah. You know what I think we've maybe talked about this a little bit before, but like crying, not invalidating the things that you're saying, like,
yeah,
you can still speak the truth even if, or what is that thing? Speak the truth even when your voice cracks?
Shakes, I think. But cracks work too.
It, yeah.
Shakes,
well, either way, keep speaking it.
Yeah. This topic, I don't know how, the thing that I find that I struggle with is I want patients and people to feel comfortable around me. I want patients to feel, and people to feel like they if they do need some help in some sort of way, or I do need to adjust my behavior or how I'm doing something to feel comfortable saying things. But at the same time,
it sounds like they feel comfortable enough to be jerks.
Yeah, but I don't want them. I don't want that.
Sometimes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, me neither.
Like, I don't.
I want people to be a little less comfortable.
I want people to feel, because my voice and how I speak is a huge part of who I am. Like, I am a chatty conversational person, and mm-hmm. I take the words that I say and then my actions and how I move through things. I try to take that seriously. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm having jokes and having fun, but I've always thought using my language as an opportunity to care for someone is important. So yes. With that, I think that policing the way I say things or the words I use to say them is hard. Mm-hmm. Because you're effectively saying, you're not good enough the way you are. I need you to change it to be what I need you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I feel like even saying, like, don't tell me to change this is almost too rigid. But it's like, we're changing every other thing. Mm-hmm. Like, this whole exam, this whole patient care thing, it's all designed for your comfort.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that comes out of my body.
Yep.
You don't get to touch it.
Yeah.
Like, leave my body alone.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, what can we do? What are our takeaways and action items?
Yes. Thank you for driving this episode.
Oh, no, my pleasure.
So, did you work at Chick-fil-A? You just said my pleasure.
Oh, man, I don't know how I picked that up. It's a great day at Chick-fil-A. I don't work there. I don't even eat there.
Do you don't eat there?
No, we don't have one. No, wait, we do. Oh. I just don't drive past it.
We have three in town that I drive past, and one's next to my work. I am a Chick-fil-A
person. Oh.
It's so bad.
There's a Burger King close to my work, and they've got that new Impossible Burger, and I am hooked.
I have recently become a Burger King fan again. I completely forgot about Burger King, went to it, and I was like, this is incredible. Mm. Like, I've not had Burger King in so long, and now I've had it twice in like 2 weeks. Okay, so action items and takeaways.
So
First action item. Well, let's do takeaways first. First takeaway is that I am going to, I feel like my first takeaway is that I need to be cognizant of how I'm saying things, but I also need to own that I'm saying things. So whether it's good or bad, if I have a hard moment where maybe I'm not saying things in a way to help somebody, you know, somebody's hard of hearing, they need some help in how I'm saying things. If I choose not to adjust for them, that's not being cognizant. But I also need to be cognizant that when people want me to change because they want to feel more comfortable and still owning my space in that moment.
That's good.
So maybe that's a takeaway. So I think my takeaway is, like, I got to be cognizant of what I say, and my action item is owning my space. What about yours?
Mine is, I'm taking something that you said earlier. I'm just going to talk anyway. And, you know, if people don't like it, that's their business. It's like, it's none of my business what people think of me. So there. Speak anyway.
I think that's going to be the podcast title. Speak anyway.
Yeah, say stuff anyway. Don't stop talking. Talk forever. Okay, my action item is that I'm going to try and retrain myself, because I was thinking about the podcast that I listen to, and with the exception of the wonderful podcast of the Defocus family, I don't really listen to any podcasts that are hosted by women. I listen to a couple where women are co-hosts, but mainly it's like all dudes. So I'm going to try and get more women's voices pumped into my ear holes so that I can, like,
pump those ear holes,
retrain myself
with those women.
Yeah. So that's my action item.
I like that action item. Mm-hmm. I've listened to a lot of books on tape lately, and all of them have been narrated by women. So it's a nice ear hole pump. But I think that might be a wrap. I think we're just going to have some good stuff always on our Instagram, always on our Twitter page. We're working on those. We're working.
It's we had some perfect interaction with Kate's dad. It was the greatest.
Yeah. That was awkward.
No, I loved it. He loves you.
Yeah, he does, which I love him.
Yeah.
And it was just his birthday. It was good, but at the same time, Dads. Oh, dads. Also, one thing that I'm also going to keep doing in my exams, this is my other action item, is singing, especially to the children while I'm doing their exams. They cannot control my vocals.
Give me a little taste.
Now we're gonna move on to the part where I check for glasses.
That was good.
This is how we sing through the exam. All right, who's ready to take a ride on the motorcycle? That's what I call my slit lamp.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And so they hold onto their handlebars. Mm-hmm. And usually kiddos, I have them stand up and then they hold onto the handlebars and they put their face in there. And I was like, all right, you're ready for the wind to hit you? Yes. All right, here come the headlights. They just think it's funny. Like, usually the kids under the age of 8, over that, they're like, shut up. And then I'll say, no, I own this space. I can sing if I want to.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's it.
All right, we did it. Good work.
All right, until next time.
Until next time.
Bye. Bye.